Preach a sermon that's entitled Proud versus Humble. Isaiah 66, the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. God says, not my words. God says, I resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. So who do you think tonight that God wants? The proud or the humble? Woo, the proud. Glory, somebody said. Well, we're going to see what God says tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. If God wants the proud or if God wants the humble. So he or she that said proud, we're going to see if you were right. Glory to God. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, 1 and 2, the word of God says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus tonight. God, help us to seek and see you, God, fully for who you are, God. You are amazing, all-powerful, God, almighty. You are our all in all tonight, God. Help us to see you, God, as we should. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Here in our text, God is giving you and I a view of himself. He says, who can build a house that contains him? Who can step in and give God rest? Who can do all that he has done? See, prideful or arrogant people can do nothing for him. God tonight is looking for a broken or contrite people. He's looking for those, amen, that are in need of him, not those that say, I have everything, why do I need you? See, he is looking for a man, a woman, who would humble themselves. The Bible says that God opposes or resists, amen, the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If God tonight wants to use a humble person, we need to know what makes a man or woman humble. If we know that God opposes the proud, we have to evaluate ourselves tonight. In dealing with others, a proud focuses on the failures of others. They are just waiting for people to fail so that they can run as fast as possible and tell everybody about what that person that failed has failed upon. In their own eyes, they never fail because the reason why they never fail is because they're never willing to try anything new. Can I tell you, a proud person says, I am perfect because all they do is the things of their familiarity. They never step out and do anything new because they might fail in the process of. But a humble person, are overwhelmed by their own need. They don't focus on other people's failures because they know that if it were not for the grace of God, their lives would be falling more apart. Their dependency is entirely upon Jesus. So we see the contrast. One says, I'm perfect. The other one says, there's a need in my life. In dealing with service, so we're looking at the contrast between proud and humble. In dealing with service, the proud wants all times to be served. They want people to cater to them. They are people who just come to see what the church can do for them. They think that they are privileged. Or in other words, they have the right to be served by others. You know, I'm going to get an answering service for my phone. Because I picked up the phone the other day. Normally, there's some times where I look and I'm like, okay, I don't know this number. Let me let them leave a message. But this person, she called and I answered the phone and I said, Lord, help me, Jesus. Why don't you guys do this? Ma'am, because that's not what we do. Why not? Because we don't do those things. We are a Christian church. Why don't you have the Eucharist every service? Why don't you give the communion every service? In other words, I said, ma'am, because we don't do that. We do it twice a year. We do it on Christmas and we do it on Easter. And so what's the reason why you do that? I said, ma'am, the reason why we do that is because we can get into a common, we can make that a common thing and do it just because it's something that's being done. You can be, coming in and sinned and possibly that morning, but because everybody else is lining up, guess what you're going to do? I'm going to line up myself, or I'm going to take it from the, we don't do the lineup, but we pass it around. So you're going to take it simply because, but are you right with God when you take it? But because, many of churches, they have come and they've made what Jesus says is my body and my blood a common experience. What are you going to do for me? Well, ma'am, if you come out to service, you'll find out. She hung up. See, they think they have the right, folks, to be served. But the humble, wants to serve in any capacity. They recognize one thing, that their love for Christ, of what he has done, what they do is never in comparison to what God has already done for them. They come wanting to know, is there anything that I can do? In other words, they relinquish their own rights to be able, for the sake of serving others. How they deal in the spotlight. Remember, this is proud versus humble. The proud wants to be recognized. Give me the badge. Give me the medal. Give me the position. They want to be seen. They want the spotlight. If you're going to turn off the light, make sure the spotlight light is on me. They want everybody, they want everybody's attention focused solely on them. They have their feelings hurt when they don't get the attention, or in other words, they want a pat in the back for a good job every single time. Can I tell you? God sees the unseen things that we do. He sees those things, folks. We don't need, all these things. All we need is God to be able to say, well done. The humble, they are just thrilled and excited that God, in any capacity, folks, would use their lives. They don't see the praises of men, but they receive the praises of God. They like to see others get the credit, even though they probably didn't do the full thing. You know, when I got saved, folks, I'm going to tell you, I was so excited of what God had done that I didn't care what I did. You want me to do this? Let me do it. You know, I don't know if I've mentioned, but one time there was a torrential. And the pastor that is going to come in August, he said, well, Jesus, you got to get up on top of the roof. I said, Pastor, can I wait for the rain to stop? He says, no, it's got to get fixed now. When I say torrential, listen, it was raining. It wasn't just raining, it was pouring. I got the ladder. Here I am. Pastor didn't say, Jesus, you can go change. Here I am in my church clothes, and I'm going up the top of the roof because the roof had a leak. We already had the water coming down on the concert scene that we had, the extreme area. We called it the extreme, not the 180. And as I seen it coming down, I said, God, why did he say do it now? And as I'm going up, I'm like, God, I hope I don't die. Listen, it was rough, folks. But I went up there. It got fixed. I put some all-weather sealant. I found the leak, and it got done. Nobody had to come in and say, God, Jesus, good job. I just knew what needed to get done. And when I knew what needed to be done, guess what happened? It got done. Patrick Johnson was the gardener, but he tricked me into mowing the grass. He did the gardening easy part, and he said, Jesus, you want to help me? Go get the lawnmower. While I'm there trying to clip, while he's there trying to clip and everything else. But as I'm there, I'm just in the enjoyment of all that. God, I thank you that you're even using me. You know, and I don't want to seem good job. Listen, nobody's seen those things. Everybody had already left. But it needed to be done. And it got done. See, how do people handle the responsibility? See, the proud are quick to blame others. They never make mistakes, but they always know who does. They are finger pointers. The humble just says, I can admit that I'm wrong, or when I'm wrong. The only person they fear disappointing God in anything. See, the proud will confess their sin in a general manner. They refuse to be specific. They come, and the only reason they might confess anything at all is because of the fear of, amen, the consequences. Their only worry is that they are going to be caught, but the humble names those things. Let me ask you, amen, can you tonight, as you come to the altar, can you name those things that, amen, are causing you to sin? Well, what if the person to the left, well, can I go all the way to the end over there so that nobody hears me? See, you are not afraid. They grieve and are truly repentant. They turn away from their sins, amen, not more and more engaged in their sins. The proud waits for others to come to them. When there is a disagreement, they want the other party to make sure that they come to them, not them come to the other person. They hold grudges. And they might hold them for years. They never admit, one thing, and that is that they were possibly the ones that were wrong. Let me ask you tonight, can you admit you're wrong? Can you admit? You know, I probably told you, God had to really touch my heart. Because I wasn't raised, folks. I wasn't raised lovey-dovey. I just wasn't, you know? So when my wife would come, she was quickly to say, honey, I'm sorry. And then she'd wait for me. Okay, I said I'm sorry now. What are you going to do? You know what I would do? I would say, you're sorry. Because that's not what I was taught, folks. Say you're sorry. You're sorry. I just said exactly what you told me to say. You're sorry. I had a hard time. I had a hard time. Because that's not the way I was raised. I was raised to where, if you cried, my dad beat me more. So I had to hold in all my emotions. I had to hold in all my everything within, because if I showed any sign of emotions, my dad would beat me more. Be quiet. Didn't I tell you to stop crying? But you're beating me more. When am I going to stop crying? Whenever you stop beating me, I'm going to stop. But that's the way I was raised. See, they come and they can freely admit when they make mistakes. The proud don't think they need an awakening, but they know that everybody else does. They think that they have arrived. They think they've made it. They think they're so close to God that nobody else is closer to him, meaning God, than them. The humble constantly wants to draw closer and closer and closer to God. This person can see, amen, the humble, they can see how far they need to go before, amen, they get there. Their desire is to walk every day more and more with the Lord. So the big question tonight, which of the two are you? Are you the proud or are you the humble? Ask God to let you into your heart, to see the true nature of who you are. Can I tell you, when we do a self-assessment, sometimes we need to do a true self-assessment of who we are. Because we can say who we want to be, but who are we really? Who are we really? Because tonight, what we need is to find ourselves more honest to who we are, to allow God to change us more and more into not what you want to be, but into His image. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Amen. Tonight, you're here and you're not saved. Tonight, you're here and you're not right with God. God wants to do a miracle in your life. God wants to do a miracle. The greatest miracle that He can ever do is to touch your life and bring you to salvation. You're here in this place and you're not saved. You're here in this place. You're not right with God. Will you surrender your life to Jesus? The prideful says, I don't need it. The humble says, I'm going to come on bending knees. You need to get saved. Will you lift up your hand quickly? You're backslidden tonight. You're not right with God. You know you need God back into your life. You're broken, but your words say you're good. You're devastated, but you say, I'm fine. You're bleeding, but you say, I got it. I don't need help. God tonight wants to restore the backslider. You're backslidden in your heart tonight. You're not right with God. Would you do one thing? Just quickly lift up your hand. I want to pray for you tonight. Will you allow God to touch you tonight? Amen. God sees that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else tonight? Hallelujah. Let God touch you. Anybody else? Amen. You're not saved? You're not saved or you're backslidden in your heart. You want to come to Jesus. Will you allow the Lord to help you? Amen. As you lift up your hand, would you look at me? You honest? Come here. Sam? Jesus loves you. He loves you. And He wants to help you. She's going to pray with you, okay? God bless you. As we do an assessment of who we are, we're looking at ourselves. We're looking down deep. Who are we? Which of the two are we, folks? God wants a contrite heart. The reason why it's not because God wants us to suffer. It's that when we are in the state of brokenness, we realize exactly what the need for God really is in our lives. And only God can bring you and I and put us back together. He can bring us back into a state where the broken vessel can begin to be molded and crafted into his perfect plan. Be honest with yourself tonight. Let's do a self-assessment. Let's see who we are, folks. Let's allow Jesus to touch us tonight. Let's allow the hand of God to craft us. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Let Jesus help you tonight. Let Jesus touch you tonight. Let God. See, the proud says, I don't need it. The humble says, Pastor, I couldn't wait for you to say the altar is open. Because I need to get there to the altar, to the place of sacrifice. To the place where I can lay down my sins, my life, my all. And God, place them upon your hands. God, place them upon you tonight. Just to allow Jesus the right to enter into our lives. ¿Puede Jesús tener el derecho de poder entrar y disruptir tu vida? ¿Cuál de los dos somos en esta noche? ¿El orgulloso o el humilde? God wants to help us tonight, folks. God doesn't bring us to be able to punish us. But when pride has filled our hearts, we don't allow God the right to enter in. Cuando el orgullo nos llena el corazón, no dejamos que Jesús pueda, no dejamos que Jesús entre a nuestros corazones y a nuestras vidas. Let's cry out to God. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Because the humble person sees exactly who they are. You know, I constantly have to do an examination of myself and remind myself, I don't know about you, but I have to remind myself, God, this is what you've done for me. It's nothing that I've done for myself. And I give God all the credit for everything that I not only have. I don't know if you knew, but my last two kids were not supposed to be born. According to medical doctors. My wife had an ectopic pregnancy. And they removed one ovary and half of my wife's uterus. The doctor looked at my wife and he said, you will never have another baby in your life again, Mrs. Barajas. 4 months later, she was pregnant with twins. Can I tell you, I could sit here and we're going to be here all night if I tell you the stories of what God has done, folks. But see, when I sit back and I look back and I just say, God, I thank you. Because I didn't deserve it. I didn't. But yet you still did. And then God shows me. See, God has to show me who I was before. And when I give you a glimpse of my old life, that's as far as I can give you because... Everything else is rated for adults only. Because my life was messed up, folks. And though I don't have things together, God has put pieces back into place. And those pieces, folks, they can easily go back to scatter if I lose focus upon what God has done. Amen. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our heart in the Lord. And let's see the fullness of what God has for our lives. ¿Puedes cerrar esta noche?